Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has created the heavens and the earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us continue, congregation, with the singing of Psalter 104, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. My time is nothing in thy sight. Behold, my days are but a span. Yea, truly, at his best estate, a breath, a fleeting breath is man. The stanzas 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 104. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. But we will first make confession with the Church of all ages, with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 1. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Till so far the reading of God's word. Let us seek the Lord's help and countenance in prayer. Almighty and eternal, unchangeable, Creator and sustainer of the heavens and of the earth till this moment. And it is for the second time on this thy day that we may seek to draw nigh unto thee, where thou dost separate us and make a difference where by nature there is no difference. For how many thousands upon the face of the earth do not come within the walls of thy house and are not gathered in the evening of this day around thy eternal word and testimony. And Lord, then it is of thy long suffering, thy forbearance, and of thy goodness that we receive a place here. May it truly humble us, and that thou, as that great searcher and discerner of the hearts, may it grant that true spirit of prayer and of supplication in the midst of the congregation, that there might yet be a lifting up of the many needs and cares unto the throne of grace. For thou dost know how each one stands or sits, whether there is any desire, whether there is any need in the heart to hear thy word. But Lord, that is from man's side, and thou art above man. Thou art over all-powerful, and may we then beseech of thee in this evening, that it might yet please thee to open our hearts, to open our ears, and to grant yet that thy word may enter within, that our hard hearts might yet be broken by the operation of thy dear Spirit, and that thou thyself wouldest yet grant a word to the soul of this one or that one. For we are each one traveling upon that pathway to eternity, and our time upon earth in light of that, whether it be a short time of 15 or 20 years, or perhaps 80 or 90 years, it is so short, but in handbreadth, but a vapor, a morning cloud, as thy word does testify. And that thou wouldest yet, Lord, grant a little impression, could it be a conviction within the heart thereof, and that it may cause a holy unrest and an urgency to seek that only good and that only portion which is yet to be found, which is yet to be proclaimed, which is yet testified of by thy word. And so, Lord, wilt thou yet descend also in the evening of this day with thy dear Spirit to dwell amongst us, and grant yet therein also, could it be unto thy Zion, those who are thine, yet a word of instruction, or a word of correction, or a word of encouragement. For then also they shall confess, it is so often so quiet within, but that thou wouldest then stir them up, Lord, for if it is well, then there shall also be a longing to hear a word from thee, to be granted yet a small token for their soul as an undeserving one. Wilt thou then take reasons out of thyself? Hast thou not testified in thy word? I do it not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own great name's sake, that thou mightest then, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor and for thy glory, and to magnify yet thy work in the heart of a sinner. Grant then yet unto thine own a little encouragement, a little strengthening, as thou dost see fit. And so we may lay the congregation before thee, from the very oldest to the very youngest. Also when in the past week thou hast blessed a family with a newborn child, wilt thou grant the mother renewed strength, and grant together as parents also the ability, the desire, to raise up the child given in the aforesaid doctrine, and that the impossibility thereof from man's side, that it may yet drive them to the throne of grace. In the midst of the dark times in which we are called to raise our dear children, may there be yet to that end much labor in the inner chamber, also as fathers and as mothers, and that thou wouldest yet also from among our dear youth and children grant a tender fear of thy name, that thou wouldest grant them the eyes to see that thou art so worthy to be sought, and that there lies a better portion in thee than in all the world can offer. Remember then also in the time of summer vacation, wilt thou spare each one that they may return, if thou wilt give it also to school in this fall, in the fall, and that also in this time, that as families we may be spared from all the entertainment of the world, and that we might not be easily turned aside from that only pathway set forth in thy word. Remember then also the teachers in the school, grant them a period of rest, and grant that they may return also in due time. And may it be, what would it be a wonder if they could return as one instructed by thee, to set also before the children, not only to speak of those matters, but to be given to speak out of them. Work so yet amongst us as thou alone canst do. The many needs, the many cares, the many crosses, widows, widowers, thou knowest their loneliness, and that thou wouldest yet undertake for them also. We think also of her who must go for surgery in this week. Wilt thou guide the hands of the physicians and bless the means, not only bodily, but could it be, to be sanctified to her soul? we may lay before thee also the brothers, elders, and deacons, and thy servant whom thou hast given to labor in the midst of this flock, that thou wouldest yet, Lord, uphold, that thou wouldest yet strengthen, and that thou wouldest yet grant wisdom, and above all, that the many labors might yet be blessed to the extension of thy kingdom, the upbuilding of thy Zion, and the adding to that number which in the fullness of time alone shall be revealed. Go before them each one. And we think also of the many labors in the midst of the mission field, thy servants who may labor there. Wilt thou strengthen and uphold, grant them also a token for good. We think of a former brother elder also in our former flock, who will be sent forth, Lord, in this coming week to take up his labors there. Thou knowest his pathway, and thou knowest his heart. Wilt thou strengthen, wilt thou grant him yet courage? And may it be for him and his wife that they also may be given to experience that thou dost know of them, together with their children. Ah, Lord, wilt thou yet provide for them also in these needs? We think also of thy chosen people, the Jewish nation, that thou wouldest also there remove the veil, to grant them also to see that thou hast come upon this earth, and that thou art building that kingdom as a spiritual kingdom, to yet add from amongst them for thy own name's sake. And, O Lord, the needs, the cares to that end, they are many. What we forget, wilt thou not forget? We think also on thy servants who are called to bring thy word also in the midst of our denomination. Many in the climbing of the years, strengthen them, uphold them. Could it be from time to time add yet to their number? And grant that also the way of the candidate may be prospered in due time. Help him also in this evening hour. And also for thy servant which thou hast granted to be here. Lord, thou knowest the heart. Wilt thou empty all from man's sight? For thou knowest, Lord, what clings to a man from his sight. But may he be then as an empty vessel, an instrument in thy hand, that thou wouldest yet cut off all, yet to fill, and that he may yet be lifted upon the wings of prayer by a people who have been taught to pray, be on his right and on his left, and that it may yet please thee in the midst also of a solemn message which must go forth, to yet bind the hearts of the hearers as his own soul upon him, and that there might yet be an urgency which might yet go forth. O, that thou, O King of the Church, wouldest yet ride forth prosperously also in this evening hour, to shoot forth an arrow in the heart of the king's enemies, one here, one there. Ah, that remains thy work. And yet as thou hast testified in thy word through the foolishness of preaching, wilt thou grant it then, undeserved and forfeited from our side. But hear us yet in mercy, we ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We continue with the singing of Psalter 1, the first four stanzas. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet. who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 1. Thank you. Dear congregation, we have read the words together out of that chapter which we have read. And then for a moment our thoughts go to verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And no, it is not that we are called to prophesy. And neither is it in that way that Peter is there pointing to a specific date or day. For we are nearly 2,000 years past that time in which he would have written that epistle. But what is Peter there pointing to, congregation? That there comes an end. And that end is imminent. It will not be stopped. It is to be expected. And that is appointing to that last day, which is that final step of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say it very simply. Upon the heavy meritorious sufferings and labors for which he has labored, that portion yet awaits the ascended King of Kings. That day of which God's word testifies, to him every knee shall bow, and that every eye shall seize. And now in light of that, in that letter Peter has written, he exhorts to a sober living. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. Oh, he, as it were, distinguishes between those two pathways. A life in the midst of the ease of this world, or where the eye has been turned to see that there awaits an eternal end, and where that testimony of God's word has received that weight upon the soul. To see that all the things of this time, they are but a passing thing, a fleeting breath. Where a soul is brought once, and by renewal, to a standstill. And where that duty and that demand of God which lies upon our life, that becomes reality. Do we know of a time, beloved, in light of eternity? In light of that of which God's word testifies, that God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. In light of that end, children, youth, and we do not have to be old for that end. And my thoughts went in this afternoon hour. And perhaps that seems far removed for you. I know that. I was also young once. But then my thoughts went to a neighboring congregation of Corsica. An 18-year-old boy. Eternity. And my thoughts went for a moment of what I saw in the bulletin of Grand Rapids yesterday. Although not a member of our congregations, yet a granddaughter of a member, a 19-year-old girl, eternity. And what is eternity, beloved? Have you ever thought of that, children? And it is Thomas Boston, and then we go to our text, but he gives such an example. And now you can look west in the morning if the Lord gives it, and you see those mountains there. And he says, if every day now a bird would come and remove one grain of sand off of those mountains, then there comes a time that those mountains disappear. Think of that for a moment. And then he adds, and then eternity has not yet begun. It is something we cannot fathom, but it is that portion which we are called, congregation, to consider. So in light of our own souls for eternity this evening, out of the words of our text, 1 Peter 4, and we take thereof verse 18. 1 Peter 4, verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We place beneath these words by way of theme, scarcely saved. And with three thoughts. In the first place, the trial of the righteous. In the second place, the question from the righteous. And in the third place, the comfort for the righteous. Scarcely saved, the trial of the righteous, the question from the righteous, and the comfort for the righteous. May the Lord open His word to that end. Peter has written his epistles, beloved, to the scattered Jews. And it was thus to a people who in that true way of regeneration had been brought to true faith in Christ. And now by way of his epistles, he seeks to strengthen them, but also to admonish them in that way in which they are called to work, as a witness of that work of the Lord which had been wrought powerfully in their heart. And it is within those letters to that end that he seeks to establish the truth. He seeks to establish them further in the truths of God's word. And now in our text words we read of the righteous. The righteous. Yeah, who are they? Because that now must be first established to rightly understand our text. That must be separated to that end. What does Peter now read mean when we read in our text words, the righteous? Is that now a people that are righteous in their own eyes? What do you think, children? That one now as the rich young ruler who said, all these things have I done. What more now can I do? Then I hear you say that cannot be. No, that is now a people who under the operation of the Spirit have been granted a knowledge of God, a knowledge of self, and then and never outside of that order, and then a knowledge of Christ. That is a people who in and of themselves, they walk with a living complaint of self over the face of this earth. And they never become better in themselves. And when they do, then the Lord comes over now to remove himself, to empty them again by renewal. That is a people of whom we read in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. Not having a righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. They are those, as we read in our text words, which we read, scarcely they are saved, scarcely. If we think of something for a moment that is scarce, that is something that is rare, as it were. We would say something that barely comes forth or makes it through. And thus it is scarcely saved. It is not easily. It is through a pathway that is fraught with difficulties. Of those scarcely saved, we could go to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Mark 10. where he testified to that rich young ruler, also in the audience of his disciples, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And that has brought the astonishment also in the eyes of the disciples. Who then can be saved? Ah, beloved, scarcely. That is, in the impossibility from man's sight. That is, with strife. That is, through trials. That is, through many fears. But that is, in the context also of the chapter that we have read together, a people who can also no longer serve the world and sin. It is a people who no longer have a place in the world because they have seen the vanity of the world. And yet so often, a heart that is drawn to the world. And then as a burdened one going forth over the world, for beloved, it is now under the uncovering light of God's Spirit, when we think in light of the words of our text, that the Lord then enlightens and opens the eyes to see not only the consequences of sin. We all live with the consequences of sin. How that ought to grieve us. How that ought to burden us. But then the spiritual understanding is opened to see the nature of sin. And then for you children, for a moment, when I see so many of you, then they begin more and more to see sin as God sees sin. Then they see sin more and more as that which separates them from the communion with God. And then there comes such a reverence for God's word in those souls. Then there comes such an unrest by moments, and I know that life goes up and down, that is true. But there comes an unrest by moments in light of that eternal end which awaits. Why? Because then that end that speaks of a separation, and then it becomes a reality within the soul. That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account for. And then they look not to another, but then within. Ah, that is not a people righteous in their own eyes. No. No, they are in the strife with that if hardly, with that scaredly, scarcely. They are through the exercises of faith made a partaker of those fiery trials in whatever measure it pleases the Lord to lay upon them. We must remember that. And perhaps one says, must they then seek a heavy pathway? No. No, then our thoughts go very simply for a moment to the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He did not seek a heavy pathway, but as that cross and the way in which he has trodden upon this earth was laid upon him, he went forth bearing that cross. And then so often the enmity against that pathway comes out in their heart. And that can be inward, that can be outward trials. The Lord is free in that. We realize that. It is that appointed lot that each one of God's children shall to a measure experience. For we read in God's word also by way of Isaiah the prophet, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And it is in light, congregation, of that work of the Lord in their heart that those judgments, as we read in that previous verse, those judgments which begin at the house of the Lord, they weigh upon that people. Because if we back up for a moment in that previous verse where we read of those judgments, that points to a sentence of condemnation, and their eyes have been opened for it. A sentence of condemnation that lies upon man because of sin, and that lies upon each one of us. But now one kind of people in the world. To that end, we are all the same. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. But now that question this evening, have the eyes been opened to behold it? For we lie and we walk each one. We have said it in prayer in that frail time of our life. Between the demanding justice of God, oh my dear traveler to eternity, between that demanding justice of God and the executed justice of God, and except now that sentence shall fall upon a substitute, then it shall fall on us. And yet you say, do not those judgments that come upon this world, do they not fall upon all? Yeah, they do, to a certain extent, that is true. They do. But has that way now been sanctified to your soul? Have you seen the hand of God in it? And now when Paul writes here, when Peter writes here also to those scattered Jewish Christians, then it is in light of that also that it seems so often that that hand of judgment also in this temporal life lies heavier upon God's child than upon the world. And at times that is also true, beloved. At times that is also true. For the Lord to that end, that is now also out of his fatherly hand, the Lord to that end does not spare his child and his children. No, then we read, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But now the trial of those souls, congregation, that is because they now so experience how what they have embraced in paradise separates them from the Lord. And therein they so often go as a burdened soul. Oh, then there is so often, perhaps during the week, heavy is my tribulation. No, they do not point a finger at God. Heavy is my tribulation. Sore my punishment has been. Broken by thy indignation, I am troubled by my sin. But now there was a time in their life where they were given to take refuge and to flee for refuge unto a Savior, that there arose a need out of the depth and a cry upon the lips, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And there was a time that they were given free access, as it were, to the throne of grace, where a way was now open from God's side. And they were be given to behold to a certain measure, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world, where they were given to see, oh, perhaps only a possibility, perhaps led a little further to see a Savior, perhaps a little further upon that pathway to be seeing the Savior, but yet that way outside of self. For there can be congregation that is so solemn. There can be also a knowledge of sin. And there can be also an asking for forgiveness. That is true. And yet it lies outside of that true saving knowledge. We have said it this morning. That soul now must come to Christ. That there is that unrest within, if it is lively within the soul. That it comes now unto Him who alone can grant them an answer. And now a truly righteous soul, as we see in our text, where it is wrought within the heart, congregation, in that life of sanctification, they long more and more. I do not say they can attain it in and of themselves. That is a different story. That is also learned. But they long more and more to live a holy life before the Lord. That is a fruit of that union with Him. He has testified, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then there comes more and more a fleeing from sin. Out of that longing and that yearning of the heart to be conformed to His image. You see, they are made a partaker with Christ's sufferings when they are set upon that narrow pathway. And they become so often so wearied in the striving against sin upon that pathway, that old man, that rebellious nature which lives within. And then but an empty, loathsome wretch in and of themselves, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Yeah, it becomes a striving upon the narrow way. A striving. Are you upon that way? Or maybe it is your question. You see, a reformation, an outward reformation that the devil will to a large extent leave alone. He is not so particular to that end. But when it comes to regeneration, then they come in the strife. And that people is so often, as it were, walled between two fears. You say, what are they? That is, the one side, they fear to presume something. They dare not, they cannot presume. They must hear it from another. And the other side is that fear, congregation, that they shall never enter in. Oh, they are walled, as it were, between their pride and their unbelief. And yet scarcely saved, we say, in the words of our text, also in light of our first point. The Lord places now those souls upon that narrow way, following His steps, taking up their cross, following after Him. And they so often at enmity upon the way. They in all weakness, oh, in our thoughts, in the words of our text, then we can see Peter for a moment, can we not? Where, youth? Then I see Peter in the hall of Caiaphas. There where he would be uncovered to that self-righteousness which still lived within. There where he would be uncovered to that hypocritical self-love that he clung to. And there we see him grieved when he had turned and denied his master. And he went out and wept bitterly. Yeah, what remained yet for a Peter? What remained yet for a Peter? The eye of his master turned yet one more time upon him. Do you know of that way, beloved? And if that eye had, reverently speaking, not turned one more time upon him, then for a Peter it was over with. But there lay a faithfulness on the other side where he had testified. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, it was a heavy way. And yet through that heavy way for Peter, he was also spiritually instructed therein. Perhaps one in our midst in this evening, no stranger to that pathway of that life of grace. And then perhaps upon a heavy way, and then those thoughts within, is this now the Lord's way with such a one? And then looking as Asaph also to those who seem to prosper at every turn. Oh, with an Asaph perhaps saying there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Oh, although that way seems heavy, so also it was an encouragement unto those whom he has written to. It is a call not to turn from that pathway. Who is among you, Isaiah has testified, that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his word. And now that word was sent, yes, also to strengthen in the midst of those scattered Christians. And he lays that over, as we see in our text, with our second thought. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? For that comes forth now as a question. If that pathway now of those in whom the Lord works is now such a pathway, yeah, and then maybe you think, children, if that now is the pathway of God's children, perhaps you think within that is not so desirable. Children, then you should ask that people once. Perhaps a grandmother or a grandfather. Oh, I hope your own father or mother may testify of it in truth. And then they shall also tell you that there lies in the midst of that strife and of that missing a sweetness with no earthly joy can afford. But now wherewith shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Who are they? What does Peter now mean with those in our text? Who are the ungodly? There are different thoughts we can bring forward also in connection with that. The ungodly, it could mean those that are destitute in that way of any reverence for God's name, for God's word, in that sense that there is openly no regard for God and for his commandments. But is that then disconnected also with church life, perhaps one says? No, within the context of God's word, we can see also in that meaning that it lies connected with church life. It lies also connected in that way where false doctrines are openly embraced and promoted. For I read in Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So to that end, it can be also in a denial of that truth openly, and yet under the covering of that truth, as it were. But then we must bring that also a step further. The ungodly, that is one without God, that is each one of us upon the face of the earth by nature, that is our state of death by birth, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. Thus there is not one outside of it to that end. And now we read the ungodly and the sinner. Thus one without God and devoted to sin, going onward, hardening oneself against the Lord, and in that way provoking the Lord. And we can say more, also grieving Christ. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee, and ye would not. Oh, it is to that end in our unconverted state and showing no and having no desire by nature, have the eyes been opened for it. And in that way it is a living in disobedience to that gospel call. The ungodly and the sinner, where shall they appear? And then Peter is not first and foremost pointing here to a place, beloved. Ah, that comes, we well realize that. But where shall they appear? Neither is it a pointing to if we shall appear, we all shall. But with what shall we appear before our Creator? Think of the examples with which we opened, that solemn hour of death that awaits each one of us yet. Who knows how soon? And then it is testified, O, out of the love of my heart, beloved, who can stand before his indignation? No, the terror of it also will not drive it there, I realize that. But that it may drive as an arrow into the heart also in this evening hour. That it may be as Paul has testified also in the word of God. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. For it is especially when we have been granted that privilege to be under that truth of God's word, that if we stand yet outside of that one necessity, then God's word testifies, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, wherewith shall we then appear before our Creator? Perhaps going forth upon the earth, stop then for a moment and consider. In the open amusements and enjoyments of this world, perhaps in sinful company, perhaps with going along with all the entertainment of this world, Ah, beloved, it points to that necessity and to that end he is yet calling. To that end there is yet a laboring with the souls also in this evening. Kiss the Son, we read in Psalm 2, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, it is that call to bow unconditionally before him, before that awaited day from him who is ordained to return by the righteous God to judge all the earth. And then in that day there is not one person that shall do a strange work. Therefore the righteous in the midst of the strife and of the trials, there it shall also become true for those so often fearful upon that pathway, that the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor it shall not perish forever. Oh, so often in the trials, so often the attacks of the devil from without and from within, so often that flesh which burdened them and carried them, chained them as it were to this earth. But then in that day, then it shall be heard for that people. Come ye blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. But oh, the other side. The other side. Where it was only ever a service of sin and of the things of time and of sense, wherewith shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, here you may hide from it, beloved. And we all do, and we all seek that by nature. But there shall be no hiding place from it anymore. And then the sight of the riches of that Savior which had been proffered through all those years. Oh, that shall lie as a weight, and you shall fall in agreement with it. And then to hear those words, depart from me. Oh, it is that separation, congregation, between that broad and that narrow way. And what shall it be if we walk hand in hand? Oh, then we are called each one to consider and to search. If we walk hand in hand even with one upon that narrow way, and yet we ourselves upon that broad way, and then I read in God's word, and that becomes now so also in the heart where the Lord works. Then there comes a searching congregation, because that is now a people that desire to be dealt honestly with. Perhaps one who came up to God's house in this evening, and then their cry in the inner chamber, Lord, do you know, youth, what the cry of that people is? Lord, if it is now all wrong in my life, and if I deceive myself and I stand outside, oh, wilt thou then reveal it? And Lord, if it is of thee, may there yet be a word spoken to the soul. For I read in God's word, by thy light shall we see light. And that is that inner searching of the heart. And ah, beloved, then that question comes under our second thought. Wherewith shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Which pathway are we on? And shall we persist upon that pathway? And one says, ah, but is it not an election? Is it not an election? Is it a hiding place for you? to go on in ease. And I think for a moment, and I say that for you, youth, for a moment. And I think for a moment of an old widow that I was privileged to visit. And no, it is not in my congregation, and I will not say where, that does not matter. Her husband in the grave. And when we visited her, the fourth of five children she had to place in the grave. Yeah, mother, how is it? And then we said something along that line, but it must be given. And then she pointed the finger at us and she said, oh, she said, student, in that day. She said, it shall not be that we were not able. She said, it shall be that we were not willing to come unto him. Because I have called and ye have refused, I read in God's word. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And now those callings come. But flesh and blood seeks that easy pathway. And now there is a people uncovered to it. And their eyes are open for it. And they so learn that they seek that easy pathway of the flesh. But my moments upon that pathway in the strife, the Lord grants, yet, oh, he testifies by those small moments within the soul to that seeking people by way of those encouragements, by way of those little tokens to the soul. He knows precisely what each one, and he never lays too much upon the shoulders. Oh, he is such a faithful God to that end. And my moments he grants upon that pathway that he knows of their way. Oh, the psalmist has testified of it. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, and that is for the comfort of the righteous. Our third thought, but we sing first. Psalter 81, stanzas 2 and 3. Secured by thy unfailing grace, in thee they find a hiding place, when foes their plots devise. A sure retreat thou wilt prepare, and keep them safely sheltered there. When strife of tongues shall cease, shall rise, and what follows, 2 and 3 of Psalter 81. Thank you. Our third thought, the comfort of the righteous. And wherein now lies the comfort within the words of our text? For we read, if the righteous scarcely be saved, scarcely, beloved, scarcely, but they are saved. That scarcely that is through that way of trials in the exercises of faith which they shall be led through. But that scarcely to that end that is from man's side. But if we think for a moment of that scarcely but saved, that lies now in the redeeming love of him of whom it is testified. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And with all reverence, from his side it is not uncertain. Of him it is testified within God's word, but this man, the just for the unjust, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God. And thus that scarcely saved that lies upon the eternal foundation of God's electing love fulfilled in and through his bosom son. Of him who has testified in John 17 in his high priestly prayer, thine they were and thou gavest them me. And that is that prayer which yet awaits that final amen which shall come in that day of days. That is upon the labors of another, as that faithful high priest who has purchased that church with his own precious blood, to redeem them from that curse of the law, to redeem them from original and actual sin. And that lies now, no, not scarcely in that sense, but that lies now in that imputed righteousness of another, and that lies firm in that work of regeneration in the soul. Upon that testimony it is testified in God's word, and they have kept thy word. And thus it is an encouragement now unto the church in the wilderness journey. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? For that church is not to think it a strange pathway where they are upon. It is not an unknown pathway. No, from Adam onward they have all trodden that pathway. Thus they are not to be surprised to that end, to the trials into which they are brought. That is to that end also, if we think for a moment in the context of that chapter, of that fiery trial that has in it an element of purification. And so the Lord prepares his church here upon this earth, a purification. Thus that pathway wherein they are put on, it may seem a heavy pathway. And that is not to despise that pathway, no, not at all. That is not to make light of it. But that is now to point at that pathway, when they may truly be brought under it. And no, they are not always under it. They shall also experience that. But when they are truly brought under it, that those trials that the Lord now lays upon them keeps them upon that narrow way. I will hedge up thy way, we read in Hosea. I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall. And thus those judgments, those chastisements that so heavenly burdens them, then there comes a separation. Do you see it? It had no effect upon the ungodly, but in the Lord's hand sanctified in the life. It brought them upon that right pathway and kept them upon that right pathway. And the further they go, the more the wonder is that they are kept upon it. Oh, to that end, those trials where they are truly sanctified to the soul. It is an evidence to that end. No, not to make a foundation of it. There is one foundation. But it is an evidence in their life that that image of God to that end of knowledge, righteousness, and holiness is restored upon the soul. And now that which remains in this temporal life, that handful of dust, O sinner, that handful of corruption, that is all that remains. Nothing more of that people. But that must now be formed, as it were, by that great heavenly potter. And he now takes that people and upon this life, to whatever extent it pleases him so to do that, he forms them, congregation, that Christ may be formed in the soul. And that that name of Christ, that that name of a triune God through Christ, may be glorified therein. And then what now is also the comfort for those righteous? We read in that previous verse, those judgments, they begin at the house of God. And Peter includes also himself in that, oh, he is no stranger to it. They begin at the house of God. But they are temporary in nature. Therefore, the church is called the true church to take courage. It is for an appointed time and for an appointed purpose. It is to glorify that only name within their heart and his works and his ways. And that is through that way of humiliation to a glorification and never the other way. But then it becomes our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh and far more exceeding weight of glory. And the three-headed enemy, he shall never be silent in that strife for long. By moments they receive a moment of rest, that is true. But it remains throughout this wilderness journey, children of the Lord. It remains to that end a scarcely saved. The attacks of the devil, the fears that it sits again upon a wrong foundation. Oh, and again in the midst of darkness because of their own sin and their own backslidings. And those sighs ascend unto the throne of grace. Or perhaps in the midst of coldness and in the midst of deadness, that complaint of the soul. That is all part of that scarcely. Or perhaps the devil who seeks to keep heaven out of their heart, that is now his work here upon earth. But then when the eye of faith for a moment may be turned upon him, the ascended head of the church who sat down, who rests in his finished work, then there lies that testimony, that comfort. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And that scarcely that is now but a preparation, beloved, to that end. Oh, that is a call to that end also unto that people. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man falling short, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That is a comfort to consider him who endured such contradictions against himself. And then in light of the pathway, to consider him for a moment. Is the pathway then too heavy? Look then for a moment to his pathway. Look then for a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look then for a moment, child of the Lord, upon that cursed cross of Calvary. Look then for a moment where under that heavy hand of his Father which became his judge, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? where he has poured out his soul, oh, his blood upon the hill of Calvary. And seek then to follow in his footsteps. Ah, you say, I desire the comfort. Yeah, there exactly is our shortcoming. We desire the comfort, but it is now more beneficial to walk spiritually in that way that he has set forth. And to dread sin which causes children of the Lord the hiding of his face and his countenance. Oh, to be humbled where he has made a difference. Is that now not also your testimony? Is that not also now the wonder in your life? A difference where there is no difference. A difference where there is no difference. And if that has never been a wonder in your life, then there is not a work of the Lord there that cannot be otherwise, beloved. That becomes now a difference that an eternity shall take to find out. Ah, dear congregation, youth, children, wherewith shall you appear? Wherewith shall I appear? Shall the trials upon this earth and the pathway upon this earth, shall it be our greatest tribulation, or shall it be our easiest tribulation? What shall your portion, what shall my portion be? And may it cause you to turn unto him in all earnestness and in all truth. He yet calls. And now for a guilty one, for we must close. For a guilty one, then there is yet that free testimony. For a guilty, for a wretched, for an undone one. Yet there is never one, there is one thing now, congregation. There is one thing you may bring to Christ, and that is all your guilt and all your sin and all your filth. And then as a beggar, he hears the needy when they cry. Oh, pour out your heart before him as an unworthy one. Amen. We close with prayer. Lord, we may seek thy countenance at the close of this evening service, where thy word has been given to go forth also in the midst of the congregation. And may it then please thee to yet apply it to the heart, Lord, that ever remains thy work, that thou wouldest then yet use it as thou alone dost know where it is needed. Could it be, Lord, as a call to each and every one? Go with us in the furtherance of this evening. Watch over us in this new week, that thy sparing and restraining hand may it surround each one. Remember those who go to a lonely place. Strengthen and uphold them also. And may we acknowledge thee for thy help. Wilt thou forgive, Lord, all that was amiss in both speaking and in listening? We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We close with the singing of 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, thou reignest in the heavenly height. The proud in vain thy favor seek, but thou hast mercy for the meek. And what follows? 3 and 4 of 381. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.